Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All I know, you know, it's 6 points, but that was above their heads in a way that an offensive style they can't keep up all year long. You couldn't slow you didn't slow Boston down. And if they were doing that to teams in some of these losses, then I'd say, okay, you know, 5-game homestand, all going to get turned around maybe against some of these, you know, some of these easier teams to play. But, like, they didn't do that against Boston. Like, so even in the 6-point loss, I think there's less to take away, less positive than you kind of made it out.
Yeah, that third quarter.
They can't play any better offensively than they did against Boston.
I don't understand how you can even remember what happened on Friday, given what happened in the third quarter in the Raptors game.
That's what I said. Like,
dude. I mean, crap.
I mean, like, yeah, I know Marcus Gasol was out, but so was, I mean, you sound beaten, man. I'm just trying to be real. You know, I don't work for the Grizzlies.
You take pleasure in seeing him. You want him to come across the lines, the strike lines, and say these teams ain't making the playoffs and give up all hope. That's what you want him to do. And until he does it, you're gonna give him crap about this team.
Believe me, he's done that.
It is insane that they could have played the way that they played on Friday and then do that on Saturday. That's basically what I'm saying.
Not really, because like I said, they were gassed.
Dude,
they scored 116.
Let that man believe.
They were competitive
on
Friday.
I'm not trying to take a dump here. I'm trying to be realistic.
Wave it right now.
They were competitive on Friday. They were not on Saturday.
Because they gave it everything they had.
They gave it everything they had. And then they said, you know what, Mark,
they weren't even in giving everything. They weren't playing a brand of basketball for them that is realistic.
Are they tanking? You know, at least last year we kind of knew what they were doing.
They're not tanking. They just tried to win that Boston game.
They're tanking.
Third quarter against Toronto, you might have said, man, this team might be tanking.
Well, the way they left Danny Green open in the corner for three straight possessions.
Was it 42 points they gave up?
They gave up 45.
I'm sorry. I was off by three, and that's a lot.
Only six
45
off the record,
points in
bro.
A quarter is ridiculous, man. Golden State just broke the record of 51. You just gave up 45.
Now, listen.
Are you sure it's 45?
I'm looking at it right now. It's 45, bro.
My God.
And the Grizzlies, by the way, scored 14 in the quarter.
It was unbelievable.
And we
made Danny Green look like an all-star.
I don't know what y'all want.
He had like a season high 24 in that one.
He really did. It's hard. It's increasingly difficult.
Let me tell you something.
That man made 7 threes in the third.
If they lose today,
Danny Green.
If they lose today,
yeah, Ray Allen,
to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis, then I might think they're trying
then
to tank.
Then you're coming across the lines?
No, I just might think that they're trying to tank.
Oh.
Yeah, man. They're now 8 games
they're
under 500.
They're going to get a win today.
Bennett, I hope so for you.
Dude,
sake.
That team is trash without Anthony Davis. It is a win.
That's true. That is true. And it's the start of a 5-game homestand.
Anybody's beating them without Anthony Davis.
It is time to win and stay out of 1-8. You got to do it against a Pelicans team that doesn't have Anthony Davis. Get the win. Where you at, Mark?
This season is somehow even more depressing than last year.
It's just twisted because now you can't even root for a high draft pick.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like at least last like, there was a reason
for
the season.
Not to have a pick because we think it's the best thing. It's absolutely twisted. It's a nightmare.
Like the best thing that can come out of this Grizzlies season is them losing a draft pick.
We all agree that that's the case. It sounds crazy, but we all agree it's the case.
But it's true.
Yes, need to move on.
I love
how that pick conveyed.
Everybody's saying they just need to go ahead and give the pick up to Boston. They're trying. They're trying
that's
to get.
What
we
they're
think,
trying to do.
We think they're trying to give the pick up to Boston, but like they
By
can't.
Winning.
They
yes,
can't.
But they can't
at this point.
Losing.
They don't control that. The Grizzlies are a 3-point favorite tonight, or this afternoon, I should say. Only a 3-point favorite.
They're 3-16 over the last 19.
If you are
lost
going
11
to win,
of the last 12.
If you are going to win
then
a game,
holding out that hope.
I'm just ready for a good homestand.
This might be the one that breaks our producer.
I'm just here for a good homestand. That's all I
they're
want.
They're not losing on MLK Day to an Anthony Davis-less Pelican squad. There is pride in that locker room. I know it.
Yeah, and so you want to be there. You want to be there for the pride.
That's right.
This
go see this victory. We're turning around starting today.
I feel like all seriousness, it's going to be awesome down at the Forum today.
No, it always is. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be. They always do a good job on MLK Day for sure. And it is on TNT. So you want to go to the game? Good news. We got two pair of tickets. So 5-3-5
Lower bowl tickets.
Lower bowl. These are Jason and I's personal
Celebrated
tickets.
His legacy. And I'm talking about Dr. Martin Luther King a Grizz victory.
Not Mark's.
What?
Not celebrating Mark's legacy today?
No, we're celebrating King today.
Dr. King today. And also with a victory. Watching Grizz basketball. So 535-3776, 535-ESPN. If you want to go to the Grizzlies game in just a few hours, we got our personal pair of Grizzlies tickets.
They're still out there.
Callers 4 and 9.
Grizz faithful.
You are going to the game. Congratulations. All right, we'll come back. We have not talked about the Tigers win over the weekend and those uniforms.
Not at length.
We will do that when we come back. Jason and John on ETRN FM, ESPN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wayne Group. Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I wanna set my soul on fire. My heart beats low while the flames
are on. Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts. They are your official realtors of the Memphis Grizzlies, official realtors of this very show, the J&J Show, and we're very grateful to them for that. Grateful to them for even more. They helped me sell my old house. Got me out of that old house, got full asking price, multiple offers, even got the buyer to pay closing. I couldn't have asked for a dreamier experience, and it's thanks to the good folks at Live Love Memphis Group at RE/MAX Experts. Yeah, and what Jason learned and what you'll learn is that Live Love, they do things differently. They offer a ton of extras that they don't feel are extra at all, and they don't charge extra. And that's just one small reason why they've sold over 1,100 homes in 10 years, and they are just getting started. We got a tour of the office. We met everybody there. Great folks. Not hard to see why they are having the success that they are having. They sell a home every 2 days. Let yours be next.
They're Memphians, and they work hard just like you do. And that's why they're so good at what they do. They're grinders. The website's livelovememphis.com. The phone number is 901-685-6000. Again, that number is 685-6000. First to call is Jennifer Carstensen. You want her on your team. You want her leading your team. She's going to get that house sold for you, particularly if it's been on the market 3-4 weeks, a couple of months maybe. You're with the wrong group. Get with the right group. That's the Live Love Memphis group at RE/MAX Experts.
Tickets are gone, right?
Yeah, congrats to Landon and Joe. They are both going to the game today.
Landon and Joe are going to the game, so the tickets are gone. But listen, you guys know we've been feeling extra generous lately, so I'm sure this will not be the last time you will have a chance to sit in the seats of Jason and John. So just for one day.
That sounded really weird, dude. Like
what? They were our personal tickets.
Yeah, who do you think you are?
Yeah, they're front row seats, dude.
They're great seats, though.
And the seats where my butt sits. John Martin.
Who else giving away lower
Bless
level?
You.
Who else giving away lower level on this show, on this station, I mean?
You kind of like that. You don't like that dude. So here's your food.
Yeah, enjoy your food.
Enjoy your food.
Enjoy your food. Get Wing Guru while you were down there.
There you go. I'm with that.
All right. Over the weekend, the University of Memphis.
Enjoy your food.
That's what Jeremiah Martin was doing, John, on Saturday against SMU. With his teammates.
He was distributing the food.
Yes.
He was on
with his teammates.
He was on the conveyor belt line.
Career high tying 11 assists.
He's behind the glass there in Memphis City Schools, you know, handing out those chicken sandwiches.
Yep. And them cookies.
And them warm cookies.
chocolate chip.
You remember those warm cookies?
Find the soft ones.
The best. Don't come with the hard ones. Of all time.
My wife, the hard ones. My
the
wife bakes
ones.
Cookies.
Yeah.
Them joints hard, man. Why are the cookies?
They would
so
always
hard?
Be gone. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you get a whole hard batch, but somebody was eating them, and it was Benadryl eating all them hard chocolate.
I love
why
those
you like
cookies.
Them hard? It's supposed to warm and soft.
No, I like cookies like crunchy so I can dip them in the milk, and then they get soft.
Did you get milk at White Station?
Yeah, you can get a little carton of milk.
Bro, sometimes there's algae in that milk. It was past
date. It was
You don't want to use that MCS milk.
It was in a sealed
carton. Yeah, dude, there's something in there.
It was in a sealed milk carton. There was nothing wrong with that milk.
MCS would serve you some past date milk all day long.
That
was
rough on that milk.
What are you doing? That's where you jungle juice.
Let me tell you something. That was his friends lactating. Like that milk you drank.
That's real funny. I should have known that that's where this was going to go in the child's play.
Sitting back there with a lunch lady just squirting them in the milk cart.
Oh, y'all like two little kitties today on MLK. MLK be real proud of you two.
What was that dude's name? Terrence? They had Terrence in the back.
He came in an hour early.
Bennett's turning red. It's so funny.
Hey, Bennett, because Memphis City Schools ran out of funding for the milk, so they said, Terrence, get over here.
They didn't do that.
And they used him.
That's funny.
And they used Terrence
Crump. Can we talk about the Tigers game, please, you two? Serious on MLK Day, please.
I will say I was myself titillated by the way they played on Saturday.
That's funny.
83-61 over SMU. They are now in a tie for second place in the American Athletic Conference. It is probably better than we thought it was, but it is very top-heavy still. There's a clear line. Mm-hmm. There's Houston and Cincinnati, and then Memphis, UCF, and a couple other teams that are 4-1 and 5-1.
Right.
And then it drops to 3-3 and worse after that. So, that's probably a product of the early season. But you know, I think that holds true for the conference overall.
No, I think you're about right. And as a result of the way they played, you know, you had a win over an SMU team that we've talked about was out with Jarae Foster, who's a key player for them. They haven't caught many breaks when it comes to injuries over the last couple of years, SMU. But I'm sure we don't feel very sorry for them here in Memphis, Tennessee, do we? I mean, that's the thing about it, is that Memphis has had its breaks too. No, the thing for Memphis is the way they played, is how good they were offensively, sort of a complete effort. We had talked about this going into the game. Your seniors either be really on and the freshmen not so much have it, or the other way around, where the freshmen are sort of supplying the energy and the seniors don't have it. It all kind of came together, and then defensively you were good as well. That included on the boards. And so as a result, I think, of the way you won, you've moved up. You've moved up in the polls. You've moved up on KenPom. Obviously, I've tweeted about this. They moved up 11 spots after the win over SMU, up to 87. Well, they're now up to 85 on KenPom. But the one that probably matters more at this point, and you'll see some of us media folks trying to get in that transition of whether you use KenPom now or whether you're going to use the new measuring system, which is the net, which we're all still trying to figure out.
Yep.
We've talked about it with Gary Parrish last week, what all goes into it. Well, Memphis at the net,
right?
Again, which the NCAA is going to use to rank this team's whether it comes to the tournament, they're up to 66. And again, you're talking about, you know, this is something that takes into account all the, you know, all the mid-majors, all the lower conference teams. It's got those ranked in as well. And so, in a way, you know, and we'll see if this turns out. We'll see how accurate the net is as we get forward in terms of picking out the teams and having them in the correct order from the Power Five, obviously, down to the lower schools and kind of put them all together. But right now, if you're a Memphis fan and you're trying to learn this new system, you got to like that they're at 66. Brother, I mean, that would be range
it's
for
what
we've talked about. And I know it's sort of been a taboo word.
Don't say it.
And I'm not going to do it.
Don't say it.
Most people have been fixed on, all right, Memphis is going to have a chance to play in the postseason. It's going to be winning your conference tournament, which is here, obviously, and you have that advantage. But no one's talked about to this point, I don't think, too much, and we probably shouldn't because, again, it was just a win over SMU and you have much more in front of you. But if they keep playing like this in a league that right now is projected as a four-bid league, remember, Memphis was picked fourth this preseason by its coaches. Who's to say they may not be up for one by that time? You go out and beat Temple on the road and teams like UCF at home, you're going to put yourself in position. So, again, a very impressive effort for Memphis on Saturday against SMU. And because of how impressive it was, you're seeing them move up the polls.
And that's true.
You know, as Penny said, we're starting to believe. You know, he said that after the game that, you know, in other instances, guys may be worried about minutes. Or maybe I didn't get my points, right? I didn't get as many. And
they have, and they did on Saturday, they looked the part.
Right.
You know, Jeremiah Martin didn't score 20-something points, you know, like I'm sure on most nights he would like to do, and as most nights, we expect that from him. Seemed perfectly happy scoring 8 and dishing out the 11 assists. Now, if you can keep that kind of attitude, that, and I think that's what Penny was sort of alluding to after the game when he says we're all starting to believe, guys buying in, not worrying so much about what the next guy's got as compared to what you got.
Right.
That can be a powerful thing.
Okay, B.
We know they're explosive offensively. You put the belief and the unselfishness in down through there with a little bit of fixed on the defensive glass. You're not fixed because you'll never be a great defensive rebounding team, but you've fixed it up a little bit, right? You shored it up.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about 18 offensive rebounds, 19-19 in the last three games, only 12 against SMU. They could do some damage.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've said it from the beginning, basically, of 2019, all of, 3 weeks of it, that the season comes down to whether they can go on a three-game run, in that conference tournament that's here in Memphis. And, again, what I continue to see, Houston's going to be a tough out. Cincinnati's going to be a tough out. But you, in all likelihood, if you get a first-round bye, you would not see them until the semis at the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
So, why can't they? That's where I'm at with this Memphis basketball team. Why not? I mean, I certainly think they're on track for an NIT appearance for sure. But you're laying out all the numbers, 66 in the net. And if, again, the one thing that's hurting them right now is the lack of a signature win.
Right.
They don't have that.
If
they have that, we may be having a different conversation entirely.
What is also helping them, though, clearly in their rise up these rankings, and again, you're 66 now,
yeah,
is they don't have any warts on the resume. On most of these games we're watching now you're getting into the meat of your conference schedule. When you're hearing these experts break down these teams, most teams have a bad loss at this point of the year. Memphis does not have that wart. You're right. If you're looking for one of those in terms of their losses, probably the worst one, you'd say Charleston on a neutral court.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about as bad as it gets, and KenPom doesn't consider that a bad loss.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a ward on their schedule, so the hope is for them with Temple coming up. And I know that was a disappointing loss for Temple with Penn this weekend over at their place. That hurts them. But with them coming up, UCF coming up, you've got some opportunities now to get some wins that I think some of these experts would look at. Again, road win at Temple, tough place to win. That's a good win. You've got an opportunity now in the AAC to get some of those and kind of beef up that schedule.
Yeah, now College of Charleston,
that resume,
has lost 4 of 5.
That's not good.
So that definitely looks
worse.
The
other one
is
Oklahoma State because of what's happened in that program. Have you seen it? They've gotten rid of players.
Yep.
They dropped to 8-9 at one point, maybe worse.
That's like your third or fourth game of the year,
though. But again, that Oklahoma State team turned around and beat LSU.
Right, exactly.
I mean, at that point in that season, they were a different squad.
Exactly.
And so, again, and again, it's neutral court. Memphis does not have a bad loss. Cincy does. Cincy has one at East Carolina. They're Houston and Temple, not a bad loss. But other teams in this league, South Florida – beat UConn. UConn's got the bad loss. Most teams in this league have got at least one bad loss, not Memphis.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, what happened after the game? Because I saw a little bit on Twitter about the press conference. There was a press conference, obviously, that Penny has after every game. Is this true? It was infiltrated?
How so?
The press conference.
When you say infiltrated, by whom?
A fan.
Man, that's what it felt like. Were people tweeting about it? Because
I saw a little
bit. Because I was in, and people in the media room could probably see, I was physically about to lose it. It's not a deal where, hey, this is a media room and we want to ask our questions, so you stop. It was a deal where Penny Hardaway shouldn't have to do this in front of cameras because this is it was odd and awkward and, if we've got the audio, we can play for yourself. You can tell by Penny's face how awkward it was.
Yeah, this is...
Probably can hear it in his voice, too.
This is something.
How you doing? Hey, Mr. Hardaway. My name is Terrell Austin. I'm from New Jersey. This is actually my first day ever in Tennessee, period. But I've been a Memphis fan since DeJuan Wagner days. He's from Jersey. Mm-hmm. So I grew up on him. And I was here in honor of MLK weekend. So I want to ask you something that's not basketball related. I want to know... What is if you had to recommend me one restaurant to go to in Memphis? Since you're a king of Memphis, your opinion matters. I need to know Where should I go?
Oh my goodness.
Y'all mess up?
Wow.
I had a bad experience with one restaurant right here earlier today.
Okay, we're not going to say that restaurant's
name. We're not going to do that, okay. But I just need you to give me one.
If I have to give you one place, you can go to Rendezvous.
Rendezvous?
You can go to Rendezvous. That's safe.
All right. My second question is it okay before this is all over, can I get a pic with you? Or can I leave without getting a pic for my dog? Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, cool. My man. Thank you. All right.
And we went back.
Penny, kind of
went back to asking questions about the game.
That is weird. That is strange.
If Memphis wants to have a deal where you've got a fan that comes in and throws in a question, because it's a cool deal for fans, right, to come in and throw a question in the middle of a press conference, where you've got, look, you got professionals working. Again, this isn't a let the media do their job rant. If you want to add a fan question to the thing, I'm all for it, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, throw mm-hmm. one, because it does take away a little bit from the monotony and the whole. But again, don't let it be, hey, man, what's the best place to eat in Memphis?
I mean, there are people there who are actually trying to do their jobs.
There are people that are trying to do their jobs and get information out for the fan base, right, so they can read about this game.
Right.
And in the middle of it, again, if it's a fan question, something about Penny Deep and in his coaching, I'm all for something that might apply to all of us. This dude asking, I had a bad experience in Memphis Eden, man, you got anywhere for me to
eat? You think fans would just be allowed to come to the press conference and ask Penny
questions? I'm just saying, if Memphis decided, we want to keep this buzz going, and as a reward to some of our fans for one game, you'll have the opportunity. But
we'll do that
can't
the,
be a track.
At the you know, radio show.
Look, I'm doing this at the risk of sounding like, because I don't like it. When us media act like we've got some right to all the questions to Penny Hardaway, because we've already got great
in that setting.
We've already
should,
got
though.
Great jobs as it is. But I no, to your point, I was embarrassed for Penny that in the middle of this he had to do this, and you heard it. The guy said, "Hey,
can I get a picture with you?
Got to get one with my dog," and it was uncomfortable. And you can ask Penny after it's all over,
right?
Like this was in the middle of asking about defensive rebounds and trying. What was Penny's best effort of the year?
Right.
And we're asking him about, and again, at the risk of sounding like,
well,
media always complaining. That's not this, y'all. This was a deal where a guy was in the middle of something that should, you know,
yeah, that's a,
didn't have any place in the middle of it. At least that question.
It is funny. There is a thin line a lot of times between that question and other people who actually end up asking questions at these things routinely. So that should be said.
I didn't see a credential.
Yeah,
that was
strange.
That man stood up, said, "Mr. Hardaway, he's just a fan."
Just a fan, man. But the team got the win, 83-61. Nice win for the Tigers. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Guest appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Mike Milton is an NBA champion, he's a former Memphis Grizzly, and now he's an assistant coach over at the University of Memphis basketball program. He joins us now. Coach Miller, what's going on? How are you, man?
How's it going, Coach?
Great. How y'all doing?
Is Tom Brady the GOAT?
He sure keeps telling people he is by what he does on the field. I'll tell you that much.
You enjoy
it's pretty fun to watch, isn't it?
I was going to ask, do you enjoy watching him go to work as a competitor?
I do. I do, because I can kind of understand just seeing the level of where he's at and what he's doing. I saw it with Bron, just the pressure that's on him. Just seeing him deliver like that is crazy. And it just, he's done it for a long, long time. He definitely is in the conversation.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, 2 weeks ago when they advanced to the conference championship game, he says in the post game, you know, everybody thinks we suck and that we can't win any games. And, like, nobody thinks that. I don't think anybody thinks that. But I'm just like as a competitor, because you were there. I mean, you've won NBA championships, so you know what it's like to be the quote-unquote hunted. Do you have to almost tell yourself and motivate yourself in unorthodox ways? Like how does that work?
I mean, obviously, he's, you know, for a person like him who's been there so many times, he's probably finding ways to fuel himself. Like his press conference last night, he said he never had more fun in his career. So he's just finding ways to get him to that level. And, you know, as you get older, as the doubts start sinking in, you know, for him especially, you know, there's kind of the doubt sinking in. They're not talking about his past performance or how good he was. But they're talking about, you know, can he do it at this age? And the doubt's starting to look at things like that. And he's starting to fuel himself that way. And it's impressive to see that he still does it at this level, the older and the older he gets.
Coach, we were throwing this around last week, though. I want to get you to weigh in real quick on it. 8 straight finals for LeBron or 8 straight AFC title games for Brady. Which one to use the more impressive feat? Most people were picking Brady. Would you go LeBron? That's the way I went.
I do think it's Bron, and I'm gonna tell you why. I think, you know, for the NBA, it's so. I mean, you go both ways on this. It's a hard argument. I can see why it's been a good one. It just, to me, you got to win 4 games. Got to go on the road. You got to travel. It's a lot more games. A lot more chance for injury. Mm-hmm. Obviously, football is such a you know. High impact, you know, game where you get hurt a lot. But for Bron and those guys, I mean, you got to win 4 games in the first round, 4 games in the second round, 4 games each of conference finals, then get to the final. I mean, you got to win 12 games before you're even there. It's just the stress level, the long period. I just think after playing 82 games, mm-hmm. that to me is so impressive. Now both of them are amazing. But look at Brady. He's going to win 3 games and be in the finals, or 2 games and be in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So it's just to me, just the impact of playing 82 games, 48 minutes a game for, you know, another, let's say 20 games just to get there. It just, to me, that's an impressive feat. But we're not sitting here saying either of them are impressive. I just think Bron's is more impressive.
For how many of those did he have Mike Miller, though? You know what I'm saying? Makes it a little easier when you got Mike Miller, right?
Hey, let me tell you something. It makes it a lot easier when you have Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Mike Miller was pom-poms.
Yeah. No. Was Saturday the most complete performance you guys have had this year, in your opinion?
Yeah, from start to finish, for sure. I mean, our energy level was up. We did it on the defensive end. Obviously, we've been preaching a lot for us to be successful and for us to have a chance to play into March. It's going to have to take a lot of our defensive effort. We've never had any problems scoring all season. But, you know, for these guys to start buying in and understanding the defense is very important for us to come out and make that statement. The first, you know, I think it was first 3 or 4 minutes, they didn't score any points. It ignites our offense, gets things going. So, you know, they're starting to understand that what we've been saying is just not, you know, just not word of mouth, that it actually works. And it's fun to see these guys buying in and take it to heart.
Mike, as assistant coach, I just want to, after a game like that, a performance like that, what are your eyes on the box score, the first thing you want to see? And I guess the number that jumps out to you most, was it the 24 assists? Is it holding them to 5 second chance points? Like, what does Mike Miller want to see first in that box score after a win like that?
Well, I think for me, I'm looking at a lot of things, but the most important things are the things that have been ailing us all year, which is offensive rebounds have been killing us. Mm-hmm. We did very well on the offensive glass.
Yep.
Obviously, assists being up is great. You know, I think I talk to these kids a lot, and we talk a lot as a staff. I'm a big believer in a lot of your offense also hurts your defense. So quick early shots, 24 assists was great. That means we're sharing the ball, we're moving the ball. Points in the paint I'm big on, winning the foul line I'm big on. So, you know, things like that, when we do those things, when we control those 4 areas, we're pretty good. Transition defense, they're a great transition offensive team, SMU and a rebounding team. We took two of those things out, which makes us very, very hard to beat. So, you know, I was just proud of the guys. They stuck to the game plan. Our game plan discipline has been up and down all year, but they've gotten better and better, and They were great against SMU on Saturday.
We are, of course, talking to Mike Miller, assistant coach over there at the University of Memphis. This is your first season coaching in college. You're basically halfway through the season. How much have you personally learned about the profession and this job and your role specifically, you know, at Memphis?
I've learned a lot. For anything, when you walk into something new, you know, it's not so much the knowledge of basketball you learn how to relate to kids. You learn what some kids can you know, how some kids learn and how other kids, it's different for everybody. I found out how fragile it is to win on the road, how hard it is to win on the road. It's a lot different than the NBA in that fact. Road wins are like gold in college basketball. That's different. It's different to see how these guys, you know, you assume they know things that they don't. So it's like teaching, and it's been a lot of fun. Just the challenge of that's been fun to me. We have great kids. They want to learn. They want to get better. So it's been a joy so far.
Does Florida have throwbacks like that?
Ooh.
I don't think Florida's got throwbacks like that, Mike. I will say this.
Those jerseys were sick. They look good. They look really, really good on Saturday.
You know, people are really always superstitious about, like, when you try to change the uniforms up, you know? And, like, I think everybody just wants to wear those from now on.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think that's going to have to be someone's going to have to answer that a lot higher up than me. But I think I wouldn't be opposed to it for sure.
Coach, I got to – James Harden's averaging 48.8 points over the last five. You ever think you'd see anything like this? Seriously.
No, I'll tell you what the most amazing thing is. I don't know the exact number, and I'm sure you guys do. It's some crazy number of like 178 straight points where he hadn't even been assisted.
No assists.
That to me
– Yes.
That to me is the most amazing. I'm thinking to myself, you're trying to tell me someone just didn't fumble a pass to him and he made it? Like – like 178. I think it's close to that number. I don't know what the number exactly is.
Yeah.
But either it doesn't matter what it is. When you start getting in the hundreds and you haven't had a guy pass you or assist you on a basket, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And now they're starting to talk about ways to guard him and do things.
Yeah.
He's doing this out with Chris Paul, Clint Capella. You know, it's really – he's a scoring wizard, and it's fun to see it. And I never thought I'd see something like this, for sure. Kobe was the closest to it.
As a coach, would you welcome the chance to try to stop that, you know, to be the team that stopped that one night? Or, you can't go in fearing it, right? You got to go into it and accepting the challenge. But wouldn't you, like, welcome that trying to – you know, because it's one guy. To your point, Mike, everybody's out. It's one dude. You got to stop one dude.
What? Let me ask you this real quick before I answer that. What's the? Because I haven't been paying as much attention to it as I should probably. What's their record through that month? Their team record.
Well, the last five in these games that he's averaging almost 50, Mike, they're 3-2. Now, but to your point, since Chris has been out, I don't have the record in front of me. But I mean,
they've started playing better.
They are.
Yeah,
they turned it around.
They're playing better than they did to start the year.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, listen, your job, you know, it's always the catch-22, and I saw it when we played in Miami, right? Like, the biggest thing is, okay, do you let LeBron James, do you let James Harden go for 50 and control the others,
do you
win the game? So my biggest thing is, as a coach, you know, do you want to stop me? I give you a better chance to win. If he has an off night, obviously he's always been a high-volume type guy. When he's doing it, you know, shooting high numbers, it's really, really hard. When he's doing it, getting a lot of free throws, it's really, really hard.
Right.
What you got to do with James Harden is you pick your poison. Are you sending guys like the Lakers did? The Lakers did a really, really good job for 3.5 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They're sending guys at him, making other guys beat him. They didn't make shots. You know, so I saw it. San Antonio was the best at it in the NBA Finals. They basically looked at it and said, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, you guys are going to have to go for 40. The other guys are going to have to stay away.
Yep.
You know, when we had big games, it was hard on them. So, you know, it's one of those things where you just look at it that way, and what way do you think you can win most with? I think the way you win is you let James Harden go one-on-one, keep him off the foul line, don't let other guys get open shots because they're not going to be involved in the offense. You see how they run their plays. You see how they play. They're not involved in the offense. Everything they're doing, they're eating off of James. And so if you take those shots away from those guys and James – goes for 45 but has to shoot 40 shots,
that's
you're
going to
win
got.
The game more likely.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to ask because, you know, generally speaking in basketball, right, we preach ball movement. We preach the extra pass. Like, if you look at the way the Golden State plays, San Antonio, and that's, I mean, we're just talking about unassisted, you know, scoring here from James Harden. Is that good basketball?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. Without Chris Paul in there, they have one ball handler, right? Like, now they're still getting assists because when their ball's moving, it's James Harden creating pick and rolls, which creates a trigger. You know, Clint Capella being out, I think, hurts them almost more than Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You get that rim running presence. So what they use that for is Clint and James and pick and rolls. Create a trigger. Now it becomes a domino effect where the ball starts spraying around. You run out the closeouts on Green and Gordon and those type of guys to get the ball moving. You know, right now they're still getting assists, but none of them are coming because the other guys in the team, the way they built that team, aren't guys that create shots for others. They're out there to space the floor and make shots for James, Chris Paul, and with Clint Capella rolling.
We are, of course, talking to Mike Miller, NBA champion now and assistant coach over at the University of Memphis. Mike, did Kyrie Irving also call you and apologize?
He didn't need to apologize to me, boss. That's my dude.
What did you think of that story, the fact that, like, he came out, said it publicly? I mean, obviously the gesture itself and then, you know, his decision to take it public. What did you make of all of that?
I'll be honest, you know, I'm proud of Kyrie. You know, when he came down here, I was able to spend a lot of time with him. He's one of my favorites. He used to live at my house in Cleveland. He's just a great kid. You know what that showed me is he has an appreciation now, and it's not like he doesn't like the decision he made or moved on because it's been the best thing for him. He's told me that many times. But the biggest thing for him was he appreciated, like, listen, I was a young kid who didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing, like, that was his biggest challenge, and I've said this to him 1,000 times when I talk to him. Your biggest challenge is going to be when your young team starts seeing success because they'll think they've made it.
Right.
And so those guys, what he said is 100% accurate. It's not a shot at those guys. It's just you don't know. It's the same thing we used to tell Kyrie in Cleveland. It's not a shot at you. You just don't know. And that's nothing personal. You don't know until you go through things. And so, you know, for him, it's going through that. As a person who, you know, has seen it and knows how hard it is, and so it was one of those things where he, you know, probably none of us were on the conversation with him and Bron, but he was probably just thankful that he learned those things and apologized for, you know, some of the ways he went through, because you think you know, everyone thinks they know. Believe me, I think I know. I thought I know when I got into coaching. I didn't. You know what I mean? So it's stuff you think you know that you don't know. And as you look back at it, you appreciate what you went through and who helped you go through that at the time.
Mike, I know obviously you, like, have a job and everything, so you probably are not as you know, invested in it as you otherwise would be. But the Memphis Grizzlies are going through it a little bit. From your view, and I know you haven't, like I said, probably haven't been paying attention to it as closely, but what do you think of their situation and their future?
You know, I actually have. I have paid attention to this one, obviously, because this is our city. You know, Memphis is our city. We want Grizzly basketball. We want Tiger basketball. We want everything, you know, sports-wise. They appreciate it so much here to be a part of it. So, you know, it's just tough. You know, one of those things where you get off to a hot start like they did. You know, injuries have always been a bugaboo for these guys the last 3 or 4 years. And so, you know, the one thing they've always had is they've had that core of Mike and Mark, and just when you go through things in the NBA, because the games are so quick, it's Monday, then it's Wednesday, then it's Friday, then it's Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, the games are so quick. It's really, really hard when you have a downhill or an uphill to change anything. And so, you know, for these guys, it's almost like you need a race to All-Star break. You need to take a deep breath. Because it's when things are going really, really bad, like they tend to be going right now, and it's going in that direction, is they've got to find a way to make some adjustments and make a big change, but they're having a hard time doing that because of the injuries and some of the off-court things that have happened here.
Coach, real quick, as a guy who's been through it, how tough a decision do you feel like that is for Mark, of whether to opt in next year, or is it an easy one? I mean, it's $25 million, or, hey, I've got to think about my future maybe a little bit more. This could be the last one I get. Like, how tough a decision is that, Coach, as a player?
I think it's going to be, just knowing Mark the way I do, and I'm definitely going to catch up with him this week and next week just to talk to him, because I know it's hard for him. I know it's hard for Mike right now, but knowing Mark as well as I do, it's going to be a very difficult decision for him, because he loves the city of Memphis. He's been invested in the city. His family is here.
Right.
You know, he wants to win so bad for the city of Memphis. But at the same time, you know, he's not getting any younger. I've been there before. It's tough. The money becomes, okay, yeah, the money's great, but, you know, has, look at how much he's made in the past.
Right.
And he knows that. He's a smart guy. And so, you know, he's got to put everything in perspective. He's got to sit down, take deep breaths. Don't make any rash decisions. Just trust what he's got, what he wants, what's the most important thing to him and his family. And I think he'll make the right decision, but it's a tough one for sure.
Is Jaren Jackson a future superstar?
I think so. I think Jaren, you know, I didn't know much about him. We've had this discussion off air, obviously, about Jaren. I didn't, you know, he was a hard one. I think all Michigan State guys are hard ones to tab because yep. they play a certain style. You don't get to see a whole lot.
Yep.
But you didn't. He was one of those guys that showed you about 15% of who he was in college. And I think they did a great job with him. I think he has a chance to be really, really, really special. You know, and listen, whether they win a lot of games or not this year, it's been a win for them because Jaren Jackson has got to see what it's like to be under Marc Gasol and with Mike Conley. They got the right pros to help him. And so, you know, your future's bright because of that. Now your job is to make sure you fill it around with guys going forward in the future that are on the same line of success in the future going with Jaren Jackson, because he's the guy, Mike Conley and obviously Marc Gasol. If you keep those three together, it just helps Jaren Jackson's growth, but has a chance to be a really special future because of that.
And then when I ask you, Tennessee is now the new number one in the AP top 25. Obviously, you saw them here in Memphis. Deserving?
Listen, they're a really, really good basketball team. And they got a lot of veteran guys. They're tough. They play hard. Yeah, I think they're deserving. I mean, you know, on top of that, they played against, you know, a lot of good teams, and they fared well against them. And so, you know, I think they are deserving of it, as much as that pains me to say sometimes. They do a great job.
Yeah.
They've earned it, and they do a great job. I mean, you tip your hat off to guys that do a great job. Coach Barnes does a great job over there. He does. Their players, they've been together for a long time, and they play a certain style, and they're tough. And they've done against great teams. I mean, look at the teams they played
yeah.
and beat, and even the teams they got beat by. I mean, they're a really, really good basketball team. You know, and so you got to tip your hat to it. They deserved it.
I mean, absolutely. And I think especially that win at Florida, especially a couple weeks ago.
What are we doing here? I don't know why he's doing this to you.
I was like,
Jason, will you take this show over, Jason?
I was just saying that was as
impressive a win as I think they've, you know, gotten all year, obviously here.
Yeah,
and then let me ask you before we get you out of here, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, what's the latest on Let It Fly? We haven't talked to you about it.
Listen, it's in construction phase. We're excited about it. I mean, we really are. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's slowly but surely getting put up. We want to make sure it's done right for the people here.
Yeah, man, it's going to change some things. I can't wait. Coach, you're the best.
Coach,
appreciate it as always.
Thank you for this. Next time I'll take control, Coach. Thank you, man.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
You too, brother. Thank you. Mike Miller,
University of Memphis basketball assistant coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's that time. What are Jason, John, and Bennett checking out tonight?
Here's what 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason, John, and Bennett are checking out tonight.
Well, obviously, I'll have an eye on the Grizzlies. I will not be there, John. I will not be there because why? Because we're celebrating my son's fifth birthday over at Pump It Up this afternoon.
Hey!
It's birthday party time for Dad.
I got to go in
with the kiddies. His birthday is actually Friday. We're celebrating today. This was the day that she rented out the place. So
gotcha.
Pump It Up
for me, ladies and gentlemen.
Bump, bump.
As you said, one of the greatest forms of birth control when you're around that many kids, right?
Indeed.
For a young man like you.
Indeed.
There you go.
Good for you. So CJ's
birthday
fifth
time
birthday
for me.
Party.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the Grizzlies game. I'm
hey!
There you go.
Going down. Yep, going down to work the broadcast. I'm very excited. Go
work
Grizz. Let's get a win. This should be a win for the Grizzlies. So I think we all agree on that, right?
Yeah,
we're going to get a win here.
That is certainly the hope. I will be checking out Celebrity Big Brother, Jason. Celebrity Big Brother season 2. Do you realize that Ricky Williams is on this? Kato Kaelin is on this. It is a weird mix of people.
I cannot believe Candy stooped down to this. I was talking about my wife yesterday. You don't need to do this.
Do you guys like Candy?
Yes, I think she's a fine businesswoman. I really do.
Yeah.
And she's above this. She did not need to do this in some show with Kato Kaelin. That drops you down to D-list.
Ryan Lochte's on this. Anthony Scaramucci's on this.
Come on, man. That drops you down to, like, C-D-list. Candy, you're better than that. You didn't need this.
So Celebrity Big Brother premieres tonight at 7 p.m. on CBS. I like Celebrity Big Brother. Last time, my boy Ron Artest was on that thing. So we got some interesting athletes on this one. I'll keep you updated. Ricky Williams, okay? Ricky freaking Williams. That's going to do it for us today. As always, the Jason and John Show is presented to you by The Wing Guru. Stop by if you are hungry. Thanks to our guest today, assistant basketball coach over at Memphis, Mike Miller, and Jason Fitz for joining us. Stick around. Jeffrey Wright's up next. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Yep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.